Hello, friends. Welcome to this week's episode of the Remarkable People Podcast, the Mike Murphy Story. This week, we're going to talk about Mike's remarkable journey from being groomed by his parents to be a badass, pictures of him with cigarettes and beers in his hand at 9 months old, to him running away at 14 with $4 in his pocket. And then he talks about his journey through today, where he went from a troubled youth with bad addictions and problems to someone who found his way, peace, joy, gratitude, thankfulness, and how a class and a gentleman God used to change his life. He became independently wealthy. He became a teacher, an author, a leader, an entrepreneur. And then he used that money for what we should do, to give back and to return to the community and to help others. So in this episode, we're going to talk about the biblical balance between God, the creator, and what some people call the universe. We're going to talk about different terms in the quantum realm and the law of creation and manifestation. We're going to talk about the correlation between health and wellness and illness and just depravity of our souls and our bodies, and how many things emotionally turn to cancers and Crohn's disease and other illnesses that we think we just can't control or we take drugs for. So this is a packed episode, a little bit different format, but like all our episodes, we're honestly here to help you grow and glorify God. And I think this episode's spot on to do that. So check out this episode, the Mike Murphy Story. Reach out to me, reach out to Mike, send it to your friends. And hopefully Mike and I can help you continue the journey. Hopefully you send it to friends who are going to continue to grow from it and grow with you. And as iron sharpeneth iron, so the man the countenance of his friend, right? Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to get people to join you on your journey. And we only need God to stand, but many times it's just nice to have somebody with us in the flesh. So I'm David Pasqualone. This is our remarkable friend, Mike Murphy. Enjoy this episode.
The Remarkable People Podcast. Check it out. The Remarkable People Podcast. Listen, do, repeat. For life. The Remarkable People Podcast.
Hey, Mike, how are you today?
Good, David. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing remarkable. I am so glad to have you here, and our listeners are as well. They just heard a little bit about you, so they're pumped to hear your story and just the wisdom and knowledge you're going to share with us today. But for new listeners or long-term listeners who are turning this episode on, if they stick through it to the end, what's one truth or one powerful life lesson they're going to be able to apply to their personal life that you guarantee them?
They're going to come to realize that they are a powerful creator, and they came into this physical, this 3D reality. They entered that body, and they're here for a purpose. And that purpose is to create something that they already came here to create. The trick is to figure what that out is. Quit being a victim, own your power, and go out there and manifest what you truly desire and what you came here to create.
Amen. Yeah, we all need to hear this, and we all need to apply. Everybody comes from a different worldview. Everybody has a different belief system, but truth remains the same. Like our listeners know, I come at everything from a biblical worldview. I believe the Bible 100%. And a lot of people in the Christian circles, they think that manifestation, the law of attraction, oh no, that's wrong. Where I see it as coming right out of the Bible for the most part. Would you agree, Mike?
I think the way I do teach it and the way I talk about it is right out of the Bible. I mean, Jesus spoke about it, you know, ask and you shall receive. And there's other principles that are powerful out of the Bible, like the law of reciprocity. And everything is biblical when it comes to creation. And when we open our heart and we connect to the creator again, the problem is a lot of us have lost that connection to our soul. We've lost that connection to our real self. And when we connect again, And we surrender to that power, and we realize that we're a co-creator of everything in our life with the creator of all, and that's where the power is, then we can really manifest what we truly desire. And the world needs that right now. And people need to learn this process.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, you hear the verses, you reap what you sow, or some people call it karma. And you're going to hear different terms in this episode, ladies and gentlemen, but think of it through the filter you've known, and then also through it, filter it through, okay, I'm not going to be so open-minded, my brain's going to fall out, but help me to think and consider and filter everything I'm learning through the Bible. And if it matches up, then Mike's sharing with us some really powerful life truths that are going to change my life. So Mike, before we get into this episode and talking about manifestation and tips and tricks that we can use in our own life starting today to start this process of growth, how did you get here? Where were you born? What was your upbringing like? And what brought you through to today?
Yeah, so I'm going to share, I don't like to talk about the past a lot, but I'm going to talk about some important things so you understand where I'm coming from, because there's teaching moments within. I can show you.
Yeah, and just so you know, and before you go on, Mike, the reason why we talk about this in the show is not only so people can connect, but because something obviously, or a series of things happened to bring you to this place in life. And we want the listeners to understand how you got here and what built that foundation for where Mike is today. So share as much or as little as you feel comfortable.
Yeah. And what's important to know about me, wherever your listener is, whatever mistake they've made, whatever problem they've had in life, odds are I've probably gone through it myself, because I've had a very strange, difficult, challenging life. And I was born in 1957. And I can show you a picture 9 months after being born, where I'm sitting on the couch as a 9-month-old. I have a cigarette hanging out of my mouth. I have a bottle of beer between my legs, and my mother had taken a Polaroid. And on the Polaroid, she had written, "Learning fast, just like mommy and daddy." See, because we're all programmed by our environment. Okay. So I was born white in America in 1957. So this was a great country then. And I was able to, in spite of all my frailties, once I learned the secret, okay, literally the secret, once I learned that, then I could manifest great wealth. Prior to that, I was a product of my environment. So I was programmed to smoke. I was you can program a nine-month-old baby. People have to understand, when we're born, our mind is in theta brainwave state, right? What does that mean? So the brain has different frequencies. Right now, you and I are in beta. Right below beta is alpha, and right below alpha is theta, and right below theta is delta. Delta is when we're sleeping. When we're right waking up, we're in theta, and right before we fall asleep, we're in theta. And theta, I believe, is the best state for manifestation and programming. And so when a little baby's born, their brainwaves are in theta, so they're a sponge. So everything they know, they learn through osmosis, by watching mommy and daddy, hearing mommy and daddy, feeling what they're feeling in the environment. And as they get a little older, then there's playmates, and then there's other relatives. And now today, unfortunately, there's all this programming of television and iPads and iPhones, and then there's education. And up until age 7 or 8, we were not critical thinkers. We're just observing, and that's how we get programmed to believe whatever we are. So for example, if you're born in Palestine, you're going to believe in that. If you're born here, you're going to believe in this. So we're all a product of our environment. The problem is, most of us are programmed for failure. Most of us are programmed to believe stuff that's not true. Most of us are born into an environment that's very dysfunctional. Maybe mom drinks too much, dad drinks too much, there's too much anger, there's too much this, or there's no intention, and a baby needs lots of attention. So we have to, once we wake up, we start telling ourselves a story based on that environment. And at some point, for most of us in life, we wake up and go, whoa, my life is really messed up, right? And it's due to our programming. So in my case, my programming was so messed up and so deep. At the age of 14, I just knew something was wrong, and I knew I had to leave. So at the age of 14, freshman high school, I literally ran away from home. I got on a bus in downtown Cincinnati. I got off 100 miles south in Lexington, Kentucky, with $4 in my pocket. No place to go, no place to sleep, and started hitchhiking. And so that started a process. I became a habitual runaway. I became a habitual juvenile delinquent, spending a lot of time in juvenile hall and detention. I developed a serious drinking problem. I developed a serious drug problem, and my life was a mess. And then I found someone dumb enough to marry me when I was 21. And I couldn't even hold a job. So I'm literally at 23, we have a baby and I'm living with her. She's the oldest of six. I'm living with her parents and I got this little 2-month-old baby. And one day I look in the mirror and I go, dude, you are such a loser, which frankly didn't bother me all that much. But what bothered me was the humiliation that everybody in that house knew what a loser I was. So I just literally got my stuff, didn't even own a car, threw all my clothes into one of their cars, took off, went and partied for a week, and then called her up and said, okay, I'm ready to come home. Well, unlike my parents, who usually took me home, she said, hey, no, it's over. See you later. So now I find myself age 23, divorced, small child, no future. And I end up in a 12-step program. And in that 12-step program, I started to find a little hope, but I was in such emotional pain that I couldn't stay off the alcohol and drugs for a long period of time. And after about a couple of years of this, a buddy in the 12-step program says, dude, I've never met anybody as messed up as you, but I know somebody I think may be able to help you. And so he introduced me to a recovering alcoholic. And this was 1982. So, you know, it's a little fuzzy. But he said, Mike, you come here 1 hour a week for 7 weeks, and I promise you'll get everything you want in your life. And it was $50 a week, and I didn't have 50 cents. But I found a way to make it work. And he taught me a process of manifestation, law of attraction that completely changed my life. And here's what he taught me. He said, listen, you got to break your life into areas and create a balanced life. So you got to take care of the physical, you got to take care of the mental, you got to take care of your relationships, you got to have a job, you have to have a financial, you have a contribution. So he says, we're going to break your life up into six areas. And each week we're going to write a powerful intention of what you want in that area of your life. And he said, there's no difference between imagination and reality. So whatever you can imagine can become your reality. He said, what do you want most? I said, I want to get this woman back and my child back. She hates my guts. I only see my child once a week. It's breaking my heart. I don't want some other guy raising my kid. I want to get this marriage back together. And this is, we've been divorced for 2 years. She literally hates my guts. And he goes, okay, let's write it out as if it already exists. So he has me start writing. Lisa and I are so happily married. Our daughter, Michelle, thrives into this marriage. Now it's all fantasy, right? But as I'm writing, I just got a little bit of hope. Something kind of switched, right? The pain kind of subsided for a second. And I come back. So we write about a paragraph or two. And he come back next week. What do you want next? I want to own my own business. So we write an intention that I already own my own business. And here's the important thing that I've learned since. Then you got to feel as if it's real, because feeling is where the power is. The heart is where the power is. This thing up here that we all live in our mind and our head, and we think this thing is so brainwashed and manipulated to believe stuff that's not true. But when we live, when we go to our heart and we start to feel our way through life, it's a lot easier. So anyways, I write this powerful intention that how I own my own business. What do you want next, Mike? I want to make $10,000 a month. I've never made more than $2,000. What do you want next, Mike? I want to own my own house. I had no credit, but bad credit. I had nothing for a down payment. I'm 40 grand in debt. And what do you want next, Mike? I want to be very healthy. I want to run a marathon. What do you want next, Mike? And it has to be around contribution, because you have to give back. That's part of being a balanced life. I said, well, my dad had a troubled childhood. I had a troubled childhood. I'm going to create a home for troubled youth. Okay. Week 7. So now I have 6 intentions written out and I'm just going about my life, meeting this guy every hour. And week 7 is where the magic happened. So this is 1982. For you younger people out there, what he did is he brought out a thing called a boom box. A boom box is a big box that we used to listen to music on, right? And he put in a cassette tape that had theta brainwave music on. Then he handed me a relaxation script and he handed me a microphone attached to a tape recorder. He said, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to start playing the music. And you're going to record in your own voice into this tape recorder, this relaxation script. It was about 2 pages long. And then you're going to read your 6 intentions. And that's what I did. And so what I know, and then he said, so I left there 7 weeks later with a cassette tape, with a relaxation script embedded with theta brainwave music, 6 intentions and $350 port. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen every morning, right when you wake up. And I want you to listen every night, right before you go to bed. and all these things will happen. Well, of course, you know, I'm somewhat skeptical, but I'm desperate. I have no hope. So I'm going to follow these simple little directions. And so I start listening. Within 4 months, I own my own business. And within 2 years, this woman calls me up and asks me out on a date. We get remarried. We have three more kids. I've made way more than $10,000 a month. And I got my own, within a few years, I owned my own house and got it with no down payment. Got to finance the whole nine yards. So everything started to work. So this process works, right? So now I go and I create a lot of wealth. When this started, first business I created was a restaurant. And then I expanded that. And then I become a car salesman, started selling cars. And I'll never forget this. I'm selling cars for about a year. And I tell my office mate, I said, I'm going to own my own dealership pretty soon. And he, you know, he goes, well, that's impossible. You know, that takes millions of dollars. You're never going to do that. And I think it was about 3 years after that, I was a partner in a dealership. And a couple of years after, I owned my own. And the reason why this all works, this is how nature works. This is how God created this whole place. And let me add, you know, early in the Bible, in Genesis, it says that God spoke this world into his existence. So the power of sound, energy, vibrating in a certain frequency, God said, let there be light, and there was light, okay? The animals, everything, the entire creation was spoken into existence. Because Tesla taught us that if you want to understand the universe, you have to understand energy, vibration, and frequency. And there's nothing more important, no more valuable than sound frequency. That's a certain sound, the right sound with the right frequency, with the right energy, with the right emotion attached to it, like gratitude, love, joy, compassion. You know, everything that comes into, I would challenge all of you listeners out there, I would challenge you to think of one thing that's now in your physical reality that didn't first start as a thought with a desire linked to it, okay? Everything in my life, everything in my world started as a thought and a desire, and that's how everything is created. You know, if you want to grow an oak tree, you got to plant an acorn, okay? And then you have to be a little patient. That's the problem with all this law of attraction stuff. Nobody wants to be patient anymore. You know, we live in a microwave society. Now, and that fast food society. And now I don't even have to go get out of my car and drive down to Five Guys. I just get out my phone and order DoorDash. I mean, it's gotten crazy, right? And so the whole system is designed to disempower us with limiting beliefs and make us a victim. And everything is opposite of that. We are a powerful creator that came here to create something. We have a purpose. There is a God. There is a creator. And when we tune in, we can manifest great things. Now, with all that said, it doesn't mean it's easy, okay? Life is still difficult. One of my favorite books of all time is The Road Less Traveled by M. Scott Peck. The opening line of that book is life is difficult. Why? Because we live in duality. Wherever this world is, I call it the frequency of light. It's 1% of all frequencies. And if you understand quantum physics, you understand it. When you break it all down, there's nothing but just energy. So we came from singularity, which is where God is, right? But to create this 3D physical reality, there had to be a break. So there had to be an opposite. So this world is made up of atoms. What are atoms? Positive and negative energy create this powerful energy. So in this world that we live in right now, you can't have good without evil. You can't have black without white. You can't have hot without cold. So therein lies the problem, because I'm spirit, I'm soul, I'm timeless, I'm energy, but I live in this animal body. You know, I urinate, I fornicate, I defecate. And so that's the break, right? So especially when I'm up here, none of this makes sense, because I look at the world and I see all these things that don't resonate with this. So the world wants you to live up here, but when we move into here, then we can see clearly. As Jesus said, we have eyes to see and ears to hear, and we can see the truth. But that's a difficult journey. And the biggest challenge we all have, especially me, is to continue to unprogram our childhood programming and replace it with programming of empowering beliefs that are true for us. It only has to be true for me to be effective, right? And so there's 7-8 billion of us, and we all have our own belief system, even around Christianity. How many different versions of Christianity are there? How many different translations of the Bible? So you need to find your own truth in your own heart and make sure that it's a powerful one. And the most powerful one in my world is the golden rule that Christ taught us. Do unto others as you have others do unto you. Give, be compassionate, be loving, be kind. That's the energy I want to tap into. But all of those attributes have an opposite, okay? The opposite of love is hate. And some people tap into the hate, okay? It's all energy. And so the trick is to realize that who we really are. So many of us think we're our bodies, right? So I'm 66. Well, where's my 40-year-old body? Where's my 10-year-old body? No, this body is made up of 50 trillion individual living conscious cells that are working their butts off together to make a vessel for my soul, okay? I'm not my thoughts, okay? Sometimes I get random thoughts that make no sense. Where did those come from, right? But I am in control of the thoughts. I get to decide what stays here. So I got to guard this, and whatever thought serves me and releases good chemicals and fuels me, I allow it to stay, okay? But if it doesn't, it's got to go, because it's all, because a good thought creates good chemicals. Good chemicals go into the body. We feel good. A bad thought creates bad chemicals like adrenaline and cortisol, goes into the body. We feel uncomfortable. A lot of people in America today are full of anxiety and depression. So because we don't understand that we're physical, mental, emotional, spiritual beings, and we got to take care of all of them. And frankly, honestly, the physical one's the easiest one, although we're all, you know, the problem we have there is the food has been ruined, the water has been ruined, the air has been ruined, the earth has been ruined. So we have to continually detox this thing and get the proper nutrition, which is getting harder and harder and harder. I believe that's by design. But the hardest thing to fix is this: these limiting beliefs, these neural pathways that fire and wire together to create bad habits that I can't break out of. And then the emotional attachment to this. That's where I really believe we need to do our work. We need to go in here and we need to clean out all these emotional wounds that create all these disempowering beliefs. And then we become a powerful creator, and then we're back in control of our life.
And when you talked about this, there's so much to cover, and it's interesting. And so many people I've spoken to have a very similar, not the same story, but what I'm saying, the frequencies and the letting go and the reprogramming your brain, that's so true. So you mentioned that when you started, it was 6 weeks of just basically one, you were writing out how you wanted that aspect of your life. You had six aspects of your life, and then it came together with that theta programming of you reading it out loud. Is that correct?
And the power, I believe, is in a couple things. So I have this cassette tape. So now I'm listening to these six intentions every morning, every night. So I'm staying focused. Okay. If nothing else, I'm focused, because every morning, every night, I'm telling my body, I'm telling my mind, I'm telling my heart what it is I want. And I'm reprogramming my subconscious mind. So let me talk about the subconscious real quick. So the subconscious, which where we live 95% of the time, right now I'm conscious, right? So I'm aware of what I'm doing. But when I go unconscious, what takes over? The subconscious mind. Give you an example. When you're 16 and you go to the DMV to take your driving test, you're fully conscious, okay? You're turning on your turn signal. You got both hands on the steering wheel and you're looking over your shoulder. You're fully conscious and you're driving that. 10 years later, you've done it 100 times. You're not even conscious that you're driving a car. Okay. You got one hand on the steering wheel. You may or may not look behind you. What's driving? And you're thinking of a million different things. You're thinking of the problems at home. You're thinking of problems at work. You're thinking about what you're going to do this weekend. So you're not consciously there. So who's driving that car? Your subconscious. The subconscious, we spend 95% of our time, our subconscious, which is our programming, okay, which are our belief systems that we've never asked or never questioned. That's what's running our life. And that's why we get triggered all the time so easily, because we're not conscious and we got so much subconscious programming that just will erupt with the, you know, if you say something to me and you remind me of something that happened to me that was trauma, I might unload on you and have nothing to do with you because you've triggered something in me that's in my subconscious. But here's the power of the subconscious. Right now, your subconscious, my subconscious mind is taking in 1 million bits of information every second. That's 1 million bits of information every second. Imagine that. And it knows everything that's going on in my body, everything out here, what's going on behind me, the air, everything is being monitored by my subconscious mind. Then it chooses 40 bits of data to deliver to my conscious mind. And what 40 bits of data does it choose? It's choosing, not me. The subconscious is choosing what to deliver to my conscious mind. It's determined by what it thinks I want. And what does it think I want? What it hears me say all the time, how I feel all the time. So if I walk around all the time and go, man, nothing ever goes right for me. Gosh darn it. I just can't figure this life out. Man, why do I always screw up? That subconscious mind, that supercomputer is going to look for 40 bits of data to deliver to my conscious mind to reinforce that belief system. So that's why it's so important what we think about all the time. So important how we feel all the time. Like if I'm in a constant state of gratitude, I can't feel depressed. It's impossible. If I'm in a constant feeling, this is feeling now. If I'm vibrating a frequency of love, I can't hate. So we have to understand that. So the subconscious mind is super powerful. But here's the other thing. There's only one mind. Where all of our minds are connected, okay? And there's only one heart. We are all connected. We are all one. And that's why the world is so messed up today, because there's so much division. And if there's suffering anywhere in the world, if one person is suffering anywhere in the world, we're going to feel it, right? So we have to really guard our mind and our heart. But the other superpower that I believe that what happens because of this connection, and you have to understand that right here is energy, right? This is called the field of infinite possibilities. The Bible calls it ether. Tesla called it plasma. The Chinese call it chi. The Indians call it prana, but it's energy. This right here is energy, okay? The quantum field is right here. And so I believe that when I listen to these intentions, I'm reprogramming my subconscious mind. I'm keeping me focused on what I truly want, not what I don't want. Those 50 trillion cells are vibrating that frequency. And if all those intentions are for love and compassion and creation, they're vibrating. But at the same time, these thoughts go into the field of infinite possibility. We live in an electrical universe. It's electric. Our body is electric. Our cells communicate with one another electrically. The neurons in our brain are firing and wiring electrically. So when I put this thought into this field of infinite possibility that we're all connected to, I find like-minded thoughts, or I find like-minded thinkers. And then what draws it back to me? Magnetism. It's electromagnetic universe, okay? And the earth is vibrating at a certain frequency. The sun is vibrating at a certain frequency. The earth is charged with negative electrons. The sun is charged with positive electrons. And in this field, if I can create from this field, and that's what this man was teaching me, unbeknownst to me, because I was clueless, but I know now, what he was teaching me is to see it and to feel it and to become it and start vibrating into that frequency, and then it must show up and come to you. And Jesus taught all of this.
Yeah, I know there's many verses in the Bible that when you look back and read through, even if somebody just grabbed the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you start reading Jesus's teachings, it lines up with this very much. So, Mike, when people are listening to this, they're like, okay, that makes a lot of sense, or okay, I can see maybe that point. What's something that they can do at home to start unprogramming their minds and reprogramming that subconscious?
There's a million things. I mean, you know, you got to understand, I mean, I've spent so much work undoing this stuff. Like one of the most effective tools for me is in the 12-step program. They have a thing called a fourth step where you write down everything you've ever messed up in your entire life. And you write it down, right? I mean, boom, every resentment you have ever had and why, every mistake you've ever made, anybody you've ever been angry at, you just write down everything, all the junk in your life. You take it out of your heart and out of your mind, out of your body, you put it on paper. And the next step is then you go and share it with somebody, right? So now you got a fresh start. If you do this properly, and we teach this at our Healing Retreat Center, and if you do this properly, then you're free. And now you're back to at least hopefully, you know, it's an ongoing thing. Okay. I like to tell people it's like an onion, right? An onion has a lot of layers that you got to keep peeling away, but at least you're going to start and more things you're going to become aware of as you continue down this path. You're going to become aware of more wounds, more limiting beliefs. It's a constant undoing of what was already done to you, right? But at the same time, then I find out what it is I truly desire. And then I focus on those things. So the past starts to fall apart And that's why I don't like talk about it that much, because I want to be in the present moment or I want to be in a compelling future. So in this present, everything is created in this present moment. You know, if you study quantum physics, there is no time and space, right? So there's no past and there's no future. Everything happens in the present moment. And what I want to happen is create this compelling future, these intentions I want to fulfill, and that because they're coming from my heart. See, a lot of us are programmed by our parents to become a lawyer or a doctor or this or that. And we never find our own joy, our own music, right? And so once we deprogram from that programming, and then we fall in love with what it is in the world, why we came to be here and what we're supposed to do. And then we start creating, seeing that future and then feeling that future, then it must happen. It's just the way that works. This is the way God created this place.
Yeah, and you've mentioned let me
add one thing. So I have a website, thecreationfrequency.com. A lot of this material is there for free. I have another website, Mike Murphy Unfiltered. A lot of this material is for free. My book, The Creation Frequency, that I published in 2018, I go into it's a really easy, simple book to read. And I tell the story in that book with a lot of tools and steps. I think the book's like $10. We've created an app, a free app called The Creation Frequency. It's embedded with the Theta Brainwave music. The language for the relaxation script is there on my websites or in the app. So it's very simple now for people to use the same technology that the man taught me in 1982. I've made it very, very simple for people to use this technology. So there's no excuses. The trick is to go inside, to silence the mind, to go inside, look back, contemplate, look at your past. What's holding you back? Here's what I know for sure. And I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Dr. Joe Dispenza or not, but I love his work. And here's his basic teachings, which, by the way, that what I learned in 1982 pretty much is what he's teaching today. And I think he started teaching around 2000. He had a very profound experience. But so there's, you know, King Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. But what I love about Dr. Joe's work, he says, listen, if you want to change your personal reality, you need to change your personality. So what determines your personal reality? Everything you do. What determines what you do? What you think and what you feel. So Edison or Einstein or somebody said, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And that's the dilemma, right? So, and for most people, they have to have a serious event like a death of a loved one, which was in my case, or cancer, or a devastating accident. And then they start to wake up. Then they start to realize they were on the wrong track. Then they go, oh man, I got to change things, right? But to change your personal reality, you got to change who you are. You got to change the way you think. You got to change the way you feel. You got to change the way you move your body. You got to heal your body, got to heal your mind, heal your heart, and then start creating new activities of mind, heart, and then your actions will create a new personal reality. But until you change, nothing's going to change. And in today's society, everybody's looking for a pill or a magic lecture or this or that, and it ain't coming, okay? If you don't like where you are, you got to buckle up, get up, do some work, change your personality, and then change your personal reality.
Yeah, and I like how you stress that work needs to be put into it, because a lot of the false teachers, they just go ahead and be like, oh, just do this and everything will be okay. And there is some truth to that, but you reap what you sow. You know, we play how we practice. So there's our role and responsibility in everything. So I'm glad you've brought that up. Now, when it comes to the past, you talked about this twice, and even though you discussed you don't want to spend a lot of time in the past, which I totally understand, you've also mentioned how you do go back and you jot things down, you get things out. So there's a balance that we all need in every aspect of life. And when it comes to the past, we don't want to be those people who, you know, are in denial and push it to the side and it just grows in us. But we also don't want to be the victim mentality where we think of it every day and it just festers and overtakes us. So where do you think the balance is, and how do people deal with the hardships of the past?
That's simple. Because once I look at it and I heal it, and then there's no more emotional charge, okay? There's nothing's going to charge me emotionally. Then my past becomes my wisdom, because now it's just an experience with no emotional charge, okay? So I think back in time to my wife's death, right? And before that would sadden me, which lowers my emotional frequency, which opens up to, it's self-defeating, it's limiting, right? But now I look at that, I can talk about, because there's no emotional charge because I've healed from it. So now that experience is wisdom, and that's wisdom I can share. Like I have a friend right now just lost their spouse. So I can now take that experience, because it's not emotionally charging to me. It's not going to drag me down emotionally. And then I can share what I learned from that experience with this person. And now I can bring healing and hope into that life. And guess what? I become blessed. You know, the Bible says, given it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, blah, 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 right? So now that act, my act of taking something that was devastating for me and healing from it, is now just knowledge, an experience that I had with no emotional charge is going to drag me down. So now I can go over here and use that experience to help this person, and I will be blessed one way or the other. Who knows how? But, and the other beautiful thing about giving, I'm real big guy on giving in the law of reciprocity, because it comes back 10x, 15x, 20x, 50x. Here's another biblical practice that people don't realize how valuable it is, because I think it's somewhat abused. I think it's somewhat abused in the churches, you know, tithe 10%, you're going to get this. No, because it has to be giving with an open heart, with I don't want anything in return. I'm over here helping this person. I want nothing. Okay. I'm doing this out of love and compassion, and I want nothing. But in spite of the fact that I want nothing, it's impossible for me not to get blessed. I have this pen in my hand. If I drop this pen 100 times, it's going to fall to this table. That's called the law of gravity. The law of reciprocity is the same way. And this is what we need to get back to, is to give to others of our time, our wisdom, our energy, perhaps our money, perhaps some food, perhaps transport, whatever it is. If we could shift this whole consciousness in this world like that. There's 8 billion of us, they say. And if 4 billion of us would lift up someone less fortunate, boom, it all breaks, okay? Whatever's going on here, it shifts. And we raise a new consciousness in this world based on the golden rule, based on love, based on service, based on compassion. And I think that's coming. I think what's happening right now, we're seeing, you know, there's a lot of theories on what's happening right now. There's some biblical theories as well. What I see happening is the destruction of these SIF systems that have been keeping people locked down in suffering and limiting beliefs. I see them kind of falling apart. And I see a new consciousness arising based on community, unity, integrity, responsibility, and working together. And I think this is what the world needs today. And you know, this isn't the first time this has happened either, okay? Good always wins. God always wins. But there is a lot of gnashing of the teeth and a lot of pain and suffering. And I think we're going through that right now. We might continue to go through that for a while. So my message to everybody is, now is the time to get physically strong. Open your mind. Question everything you believe. Question every belief system you have. Question it. And there's lots of tools to do that. Take that 18-inch journey from that mind to that heart. And most people have closed this because we get hurt. We contract, we contract, we contract. I get it. I've been hurt. I know the feeling. But when we contract this heart, there's nowhere else to go but the mind. The mind is a dangerous place to live, because I can manipulate you. I can lie to you. I can brainwash you from my mind. From my heart, I can't do any of that, because the heart is pure, because the heart is connected to the creator of all.
Yeah, so when you're talking about giving, again, just straight on biblical practice, and God talks about don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. And, you know, our society today, everybody's, oh, I donate this or I donated that. And that's not the right intention. It's private between you and God and the purpose, right? So again, it's what you're saying is totally lining up. God loveth a cheerful giver. But when you're talking about taking the past, dealing with it, healing from it, and then moving on, again, biblical. God pours into you the Holy Spirit, and we give from the overflow. We don't give from sacrifice, because you can't give what you don't have. So I guess the key question now is, how do you recommend the people hurt, serious trauma, great loss? They're like stuck. They're stuck. How do they get that healing? How do you recommend they start moving in the direction of receiving that healing?
Well, number one, okay.
And I know that's a broad question because everybody's situation is different.
The broad question is not an easy answer, but what I would suggest is that change the story, you know, quit telling that story, create a new story, right? And so what do I mean by that? So let's say that in my case, for example, okay, I lost my wife in 2011, 38 years old, after a 9-year battle with breast cancer, right? And I was devastated. And so my story was my wife died. And then I went to this amazing 2-week workshop where I did a lot of work around that. And I realized in that work that she didn't die, that she had left her body, and that perhaps I died was another possibility. And I came up with all these other ways of looking at that story. And so now that story is not that my wife died. The story is I had this amazing 10 years with this amazing person that turned me into a completely different person through a lot of suffering and loss and all that. But the truth of the matter is the story has changed to one where, thank God, this person came into my life. I thank her every day for loving me in life and in death. I no longer believe that I know she left her body. I was there that moment. She took her last breath, but she didn't die. That soul is still alive. That soul is still somewhere in this world and in this universe. I have certain beliefs about that make me feel good, that empower me. So I just took a bad story and made it a good story. And we can all do that. And once you do that, there's no more emotion of negative emotion attached to this. There's just love and there's just gratitude. And when you're vibrating at the frequency of love and gratitude, you're going to attract love and gratitude. And who doesn't want to be surrounded by that? The trick is to stay conscious of that, stay in the present moment, because in a moment's notice, okay, whether I'm driving on the freeway, some guy cuts me off, or my wife says something that just fries me, or I read an article that someone's done something horrific to people in the world somewhere. Okay, I can go right back to the old self in a second if I'm not conscious in this present moment and guarding my thoughts and guarding my feelings. The trick is to guard all this stuff, and it's how we respond. So I still get triggered, but for a very short period of time. And if I react in an inappropriate way, because I got triggered by one of my kids or this or that, I immediately apologize. I get free of it. Okay. I don't want any of this baggage in my heart or in my mind. So it's really just, we get to create our own story. And by the way, most of our stories are highly exaggerated. And when we really sit down, we start questioning them, you know, we can find the good in it and create a better story that doesn't disempower us.
So when we are talking about theta music and we're talking about reprogramming our brains, like I am super hesitant for letting anybody get inside my brain. You know what I mean? Like, how do we know that?
But you have to understand your brain is already in certain frequencies. That's the way you were born. That's the way the brain works. So right now, if we were to put an EEG device on your head, okay, we would see you're in beta. We could see the waves. It's all everything is like this, right, in the whole world. And so the brain waves are the brain waves. What the point of the music? Okay, and by the way, you know in centuries ago, and you go into Europe, you go into these churches and these monasteries. Man, it was all about the sound and the music, okay, to get you into the heart, to get you in a state of feeling where you would worship the divine, where you would be one with God. And that was the whole purpose of that experience, right?
And so a lot of them had those giant organs that vibrated the whole building.
Profound. And let me just tell you what's happened, that all of that sound was programmed to the tune of 432 hertz, okay? Which is a very healing frequency. And now, I think it was when the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, all that in the 60s, they started tuning music to 440 hertz. 432 is love and beauty and God and creation. 440 is chaos. Okay, so now all the music, and that's why I think you've had a big turn in music, you know, especially in the last 20 years, is because now they tune it to this 440 hertz. And so everything is energy vibrating at a certain frequency, including God, including Christ consciousness, okay? When we can tap into Christ consciousness, into that vibrational frequency, dude, we're living the golden rule. Now Jesus said, you can do more than I did. Now we can become healers like he was, right? If we're tuned into that frequency and we're totally committed and we're totally pure. That's the other thing. We have to be pure of mind, pure of heart with no agenda. But don't be worried about, because the frequency, everything in your body is vibrating a certain frequency. Every cell in your body is vibrating a different frequency. You're vibrating a different frequency than me. We all have our own IP address. And you have to understand, the illusion here in this physical world is that it's physical. No, you're sitting here, you're looking at a human being. You see skin, you see hair, blah, blah, blah. Below that, we have bones and we have organs. And then we have cells. And then we have mitochondria and molecules and chemicals. And then we have atoms. And then we have particles of atoms. And then when you break it all down, it's just energy. And an atom, we're made up of atoms. Everything in the world is made up of atoms. Atoms are 99.9999% space. Okay. So the illusion is the solidity. What's holding this together is the electromagnetism. And I believe that also the power of intention is holding this together, because I had an intention. My soul had an intention to come into this physical reality for whatever reason. There was a reason. I need to remember it, find out my legacy, my purpose. But that my intention is holding this together so that my soul can have this physical experience and do what I came here to do. And then one day my soul will leave this body when I take my last breath, and it starts all over again.
Yeah, no, I agree and understand that. What I was saying before was, like, if I knew the theta music was safe, like, not safe, like it's bad for you, but I mean, how do I know somebody isn't programming? Like, you go into department stores, and it's not conspiracy theory. I've worked at stores where the chain has subliminal messaging built in that says, don't steal, don't steal, don't steal. I don't like people screwing around in my brain. I want to know what's being said. So can theta music be hacked so people are manipulating you?
No. It's like if I start singing Amazing Grace, okay, I mean, you're just going to feel good, and your brain is going to, you know, probably what will happen to someone like you. I start singing Amazing Grace, your brain frequency and your heart frequency are going to become aligned. And now you're going to feel so amazingly great. So no, you can't do that. I mean, I'm sure someone could take something and tell you it's 432 hertz frequency, and it's not, but that was the only way around that.
Got you. So, okay. So between your birth, Mike, and today, before we transition to where's Mike today and where are you heading, is there anything that we missed in your life that you want to cover, or anything that's significant into where you're going in the future?
Well, so yes. Okay. I had this, like I said, I had this devastating effect when my second wife passed away from breast cancer. And she's diagnosed at 29, and at 37, after fighting this for 8 years, the doctor said to her, unfortunately, it spread to the lining of your brain. If you do nothing, you have 6 weeks to live. And if you treat it, you have 6 months to live. And she died almost 6 months to the day. So for those 9 years, I got to witness medicine, the way Western medicine works, on just that experience. Right after she had passed, about 3 or 4 weeks, and I was devastated. I was so defenseless. It was the worst thing ever happened to me. I was so devastated. I feel as if finally God could come into my heart, fillet it open, pull out all the arrogance, all this bullshit, all the self-centeredness, and replace it with love. So here I am, brokenhearted and despair and devastated, with this big, wide open heart full of love, but nowhere near grounded to Mother Earth. I mean, I was in another different world. It was impossible to explain. But a few weeks after she passed, a friend called me up and said, Mike, my sister-in-law is moving to San Francisco from Montana. She has stage 4 breast cancer. She's 38 years old. She has 3 children. Can you help her find an oncologist? I said, sure. So I took her to my late wife's oncologist. Her name was Amanda. He ordered some tests. I went with her because I had nothing else to do. We probably went to about 5 or 6 doctor appointments or surgeries or what have you over a 2-week period of time. Amanda was a minority. She didn't have the same look or personality of my late wife. She didn't have a husband. She didn't have good insurance. She didn't have extra money for resources. And what I noticed in those 2 weeks is she was treated much differently than us. Okay. And it made me feel very uncomfortable. But I didn't say anything. And then we got back to my late wife's oncologist and he said, Amanda, the best protocol to extend your life are these 3 chemotherapies simultaneously. Unfortunately, your insurance will only pay for one. So that's all that I can give you. And I have to tell you, it blew my mind. I just sat there, I go, did I just hear that right? I had no idea there was connection between, you know, money, insurance, and whether you live or die or someone cares. So I just simply said, here's my credit card. You give her whatever she needs. And that later became the Love for Margo Foundation. And for 4 years, I would give financial grants to women below the poverty line while they were battling cancer. And I would give $5,000, $1,000 a month. The theory was that they didn't have money to begin with. Now they have this terrible diagnosis. Now they can't work. Their expenses have gone up and there's no safety net and they were screwed. So I did this for about 4 years in Oakland, California, and also in Palm Springs, California. Oakland was mostly African-American. The desert was mostly illegal Mexican women. I probably worked closely with 150 to 200 women over those 4 or 5 years. It worked maybe 5 or 10% of the time where we would give someone a grant, they would go through treatment, they get back on their feet, and they go back to work. 90% of the time, they got sicker and sicker and sicker and die. So after about 4 or 5 years and well over $1 million, I go, man, I can't keep doing this. I go, what can I do now? I go, okay, let's help them strengthen their immune system. So I started buying them water purifiers and juicing machines and vegetables and say, okay, come on. You know, this Western medicine, this chemo, this radiation, the surgery, all this is weakening you. Let's try to strengthen you. And after about a year of that, I mean, literally the most beautiful woman in the world, having me in their house, cooking me dinners. I fell in love with every single one of them. And horrendous stories you wouldn't even believe. That's how I know most illness is related to emotional wounds, because they told me. But after a while, I mean, they think I'm their doctor and I'm a car salesman, you know, and I just couldn't keep doing it anymore. So I go, okay, now what can I do? So I ended up buying a place in South America. I have a 20-acre farm with 12 bedrooms. We've created a most beautiful retreat center. We have a 2-week transformational healing retreat journey that we do, 17 a year. And so now we charge people with money. And then twice a year, we do one of these retreats for free, pro bono, to either women below the poverty line or the other people that I want to serve that I feel are very disadvantaged right now, are these returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan. 25 a day are committing suicide. Their body is very, very toxic, but what they've seen and what they felt, and it's just really tragic. So I really believe that our retreat center and all the protocols that we do and all the teachings that we do could have a big impact. So we're just starting this right now. I've been working on this for a long time. We've done some retreats. We've helped some people. But now we're launching a real official program. And so our intention for 2024 is we're going to do 17 of these retreats. 15 of them we'll charge people. And then we'll do 2 pro bono for these groups of people. So that's where my passion, that's where all my time, energy, and money and passion is going right now, is building this place and building this experience where people can, everything I've been talking about, because I really believe that if you want to change, you need to understand why. And you need to know what's really going on. And there's so much misinformation out there when it comes to nutrition and detox. And there's so much toxicity. And then there's so much misinformation when it comes to mental health. And there's so much misinformation when it comes to healing emotional wounds. So our program is to hold your hand step by step by step. Get at least, we can't do it in 2 weeks, get all the toxicity out of the body, but teach you, show you what's going on and teach you how to continue to get it. We give you products. We have all kinds of other protocols that we use. At the same time, we give you IVs, ozone therapy. We grow 50 different vegetables. You literally pull it out of the ground. You go in and we make you a green juice. You're getting the greatest nutrition you've ever had in your whole life. We have soil that's no chemicals, nothing's ever been grown in there before. for. So we're going to really address the physical. And then we're also going to get in here. We're going to do a lot of work with these neural pathways and rewiring and getting rid of bad habits and creating good ones. And then most importantly, getting into this heart. We all have emotional wounds. Most people stuff them and aren't even realize, but they're at some level, they're affecting the quality of your life and they're affecting your health. So we spend a lot of time like that. And our intention is that everybody has this amazing experience, this beautiful spiritual awakening. They go back into their home and into their community. And then we create a little ripple effect because we follow them for a year. And so we call it a place for healing. And not that we heal. We believe that within all of us is the power to heal ourselves. And so we try to teach people that and transformation, but transformation that lasts. You don't go and have a 2-month experience. What we're going to teach you is going to be embedded in your mind, heart, soul, and body, and it will stay with you.
Yes. And when you're talking about how our emotions, our trauma, our pain, different words, different circumstances, but how that correlates to illness. Talk about that, because so many people today, especially within the United States, we have listeners from 110 plus countries around the world, but I live in the United States. So that's what I'm most familiar with. And I know that the mentality in the United States for most people is, I get sick, I go to the doctor, I take a drug, it has a side effect, I take another drug, I keep eating crap, I keep the stress, I keep the situation, nothing changes in my life, I'm just masking the symptoms, right? But how many people get cancer? How many people get kidney failure? How many people have, not just emotional, we're talking just straight up physiological, tumors and growths and fibromyalgia. So talk to our listeners about the importance of the correlation between emotions leading to the dysfunction of the disease.
Yeah. So I believe, and I believe it's proven, that all these chronic diseases that you just mentioned are all related to our environment. They're not genetic. Okay. I would say our genetics play 2 or 3% role. And we can overcome that because now we're learning about epigenetics. We're learning how we can turn genes on and turn them off based on what we think and what we feel. So I'm going to tell you one thing that will make you sick. We're all doing it right now. And I got the same problem and I'm trying to stop. Okay. We got to turn off this TV. We got to turn off this internet. All that stuff, all these troubles in the world that we bring into are affecting our vibrational energy, lowering our immune system and making us ripe for illness. So that's one issue right there. Okay. We have to be very, very careful what we let into our mind and into our heart. Then we have all the programming of our youth, childhood, or perhaps we had a terrible marriage and we were abused. Perhaps we had a terrible sexual, if we're a woman, we had some sort of sexual trauma, or even guys, we have to go in there and we have to take a look at all that and find a way to heal that. So some of us can go in there and heal it on our own, but 90% of the time we need some help healing that stuff, but we got to be willing to look at it and identify it, because all that stuff, I'll give you an example. So after my wife passed, I wanted to write a book about her. And at the exact same time I was getting ready to write a book about her, I found all her journals from age 12 to age 38. So I wrote, and I've heard all those experiences firsthand when she was alive, and now she's gone. And now I'm reading them in a 12-year-old voice, a 14-year-old voice, 18-year-old voice. And I promise you, she manifested that breast cancer because of emotional wounds that were never healed. I'm reminded of another woman right now. So the name of our nonprofit foundation is the Love for Margot Foundation. And I'm reminded of a 35-year-old woman, stage 1 breast cancer, never should have died, okay? And a beautiful soul. She loved our foundation. She loved us. She loved it so much, she would make little care packets for women, new women that came to our foundation, they're going through chemo, help them with the damage from chemo, whether it's dry skin or fingernails or whatever. She put these little packages because she'd gone through it herself. She knew what they were going through. So she would give them a tool to ease their pain, right? And so as I got to know her, she told me that from age 8 to age 14, her mother sold her to men for sex so her mother could buy crack cocaine. So I don't think that ever got healed in her. Okay. And that's why the stage one breast cancer, which is the easiest one to fix and to beat, especially with her attitude, she died within 2 years. And I really believe that it was because that 6 years being sold for sex never got resolved. And especially, listen, we got to clean that stuff up and we got to find forgiveness. It's the resentment. It's the unresolved resentment, the unresolved hate, the unresolved guilt, the unresolved shame. This lowers our frequency. This lowers our immune system. This lowers everything in our body. So when we heal that, boom, we get a burst of energy and we become lighter and we become more energetic. It's all energy. You know, when I'm strong and you know, I'm working out, I'm eating right, I'm guarding my mind, I'm only thinking good things, I'm guarding my emotions and my feelings, life is easy, okay? We got to be, but the moment I go unconscious and something gets me back into that, goes like that, and then I'm right back to the old person.
So we kind of jumped because we're going to transition into, okay, make sure between your birth and today we've covered everything. And then we transition to where's Mike today and where are you heading? And we just kind of got a piece of that with what you're doing in South America. Yeah. So yeah. If someone wants to get a hold, oh, no, that's okay. I'm just saying if someone wants to get a hold of you, if somebody wants to learn more, if they want to reach out and just continue the conversation or hire you to work together to help them heal their lives, what's the best way to reach you, Mike?
Yeah. So if you're interested in healing and coming to our retreat center, it's mountainsofhope.com. And you just schedule a call with me and we get on the phone. I explain the process to you that we have different room types. I tell you the cost. So, and there's a wealth of information on our website. So that's mountainsofhope.com. Me personally, if you want to learn more about the creation frequency or reach out to me, my website is mikemurphyunfiltered.com. Both pages have a contact form. Both contact forms come to me. But my passion right now, you know, Mike Murphy Unfiltered, I've written 4 books, published 3. I have a new one coming out in a couple months. And so that was my course for the creation frequency. That was my author page. It's not very fulfilling to me, frankly, as much as Mountains of Hope. Because Mountains of Hope is a place where people can come. So who's Mountains of Hope designed for? Well, I'm a 66-year-old baby boomer, and there's a ton of us, okay? And most of us are overweight. Most of us have some sort of chronic illness, whether it's hypertension, type 2 diabetes, some sort of autoimmune disease, maybe some heart disease, maybe an early diagnosis of cancer, or maybe they're strong and fit and healthy and they just want to come here for prevention, because I really believe we need to be constantly detoxing our body. So that's one avatar, okay? Someone older that has this issue. Anybody that's recently has a diagnosis with cancer, I think it's a great place for you to come and learn a lot of education. I really believe that the toxicity in our bodies, I'm talking heavy metals. Like I just had healed my heart, heavy metals and parasites, okay, were destroying my heart. So I did a heavy metal detox, a parasite cleanse, and I healed my heart. So the problem here today, especially in America, is the food's not even real. It's geo-modified organisms that they created so that before they harvest the wheat or the corn, they can drench it with a thing called glyphosate, which I used to use to kill weeds in my yard called Roundup. And so every time we eat something like that, we're eating pure poison. And it's not even real food. So we don't know the impact on that. But I can tell you the impact of glyphosate in the gut is it ruins the good bacteria in the gut. And the gut is it's the brain. Okay. This is a brain. This is a brain. And this is a brain. And when the gut is healthy and the heart is full, the mind is clear. How many people, though, do you talk to that got brain fog, can't stay focused? It's because the gut is messed up, or they're living in their head and they couldn't find their heart with both hands. And so when we realize how toxic we are, especially parasites, it's, you know, one thing we do at Mountains of Hope is we do a live blood cell analysis where we prick your finger and And then we put it under a really strong microscope, and you can see your blood cells moving. You can see if they're clustered together and clumped together, or they're moving like they should be. You can see if they're round or out, not round, if they're dysfunctional. You can see candida. You can see heavy metals. You can see parasites. I had one done, it's one drop of blood, six parasites. One drop of blood, so how many drops of blood are in my body? So how many parasites were in my body, right? And so if we're not careful with this stuff, you know, there's a National Geographic video that I watched the other day, said parasites have killed more humans than all the wars combined. And so, especially here, if you eat a lot of sushi here, it's you're full of parasites. And there's good ones and there's bad ones. So we have all this microbiome, we have all this gut flora, all this good bacteria that serves us. But if the glyphosate kills that, this other stuff takes over, that stuff keeps going. You know, they recreate, they're just like us, right? They urinate, they defecate, they fornicate, and they create more, and they create all these eggs. So we got to keep this body clean. That's going to affect our energy, number one. Number two, are we getting good nutrition? You know, are we putting good live whole foods into our body? My grandkids think that food is grown in a box, okay? Processed food is killing us. All this sugar, this corn syrups and everything now. Our diets are killing us. Hippocrates said, let your food be your medicine and your medicine be your food. So that's number one. And so that's one of the things we teach there. We do so many unique things there. We do brain mapping. You know, we put 24 electrodes on your head. We want to see what's going on with your head. How's your mitochondria? How's your energy in your mind? You know, in my case, the guy said, listen, dude, you gotta make some changes here, or you're headed straight for Alzheimer's or dementia, which my grandfather died of. So we want to look at everything and try to find simple, easy solutions where people can heal and transform.
Beautiful. And in the future, if someone wants to consider this and they want to connect with you, we'll put links in the show notes. So Whenever you hear this, they can reach out. Listeners, whenever you hear this, you can reach out to Mike. And then, Mike, when you talk about what you do, how would you, because there's so many terms, it seems, for the same things, manifestation, law of attraction, the secret. What do you consider yourself an expert of, or how would you classify yourself?
Well, number one, I would say I'm as flawed as any human being out there. Okay. And that, you know, I left school in eighth grade, right? So I don't have a formal education. What created me was books, reading hundreds, if not thousands upon thousands of books. You know, when I first started, it was guys like Zig Ziglar, which led to Wayne Dyer, which led to Deepak Chopra, which led to Eckhart Tolle. I've read the Bible half a dozen times. I used to teach Bible study at the church. Every ancient religion I've studied, and all these books, you know. And right now I'm into like Dr. Joe Dispenza. I'm into a woman named Byron Katie, which is the most powerful work going right now. There's another great teacher today, Dr. Bruce Lipton, on epigenetics and consciousness. So my mind is wide open to everything and learning. You know, the power is in education, because we're not taught, you know, we're not taught anything really. I mean, who taught us about sex? I mean, I have a kid at 23 years old. Who taught me how to raise a kid? I mean, who taught me about money? Who taught me about nutrition? Who taught me about, you know, this manifestation stuff I'm talking about? I mean, the problem is we don't teach people what they need to know. They teach us what they want us to know so that we can serve them, right? And so I think the most important thing is learning and reading and having an open mind and then feeling it, whether it feels good or if it works or not, and just let it go.
All right. And if you don't mind, if you have time for one more question, some people, they're so disconnected from their mind and heart. It might be 18 inches, but it could be 10 miles. Mm. How do you help people reconnect the feeling, put the mind, the false beliefs, the limiting beliefs away, and just to feel, even if they're going through the routines in the morning and going through the exercises of, you know, the positivity and the saying this has already happened in the manifestation, what are some hacks or tips to help people really feel?
I hate to say this, but I'm not sure there are any, but what I believe is that life God, the creator, is going to get you there if that's where you're supposed to get to. And I'll give you an example. If you're born to two really God-centered, spiritual, grounded to earth, mature, no bad habits parents, I think you'll find. And I don't think that happens very, very often, if ever at all, right? So most of us are born into some sort of dysfunction, and the world is certainly very dysfunctional. I'm going to speak about, I think everybody will eventually take this journey from here to here, but I'm afraid most people take it in that last breath. I know in my late wife's case, the cancer woke her up. I know in the hundreds of women that I worked with when I had my nonprofit foundation, most of them, if not all of them, told me cancer was a gift. Cancer was a blessing. Cancer woke us up. Some people go through a divorce and they wake up and get better. Some people go through a divorce and they become bitter and they never get out of it. And it eventually weighs them down and they just become miserable. I'm going to take the example of my father. My father grew up in a very difficult situation. His father passed away when he was 11 of cirrhosis of the liver. His mother was an alcoholic. And when he was 14, the mother was drunk. She had a drunk boyfriend over. Someone got stabbed. I can't recall if my dad got stabbed or the guy got stabbed. But my dad ended up in, this is, you know, a long time ago, he ended up in juvenile hall, became a ward of the state of California. Eventually, he got out. His aunt, who was never married, no siblings, raised him. My dad's heart closed back then and never, ever opened. When I came along, I knew him for the first, 20-something years of his life. I knew him as a guy that drank a lot. And, my dad was a professional baseball player, AAA level. My dad was the youngest national sales manager for Procter & Gamble with a high school education. And he became a skid row alcoholic because alcohol eventually took over every aspect of his life. Then he got sober. And for 40 years, he helped a lot of people in that program. But he never got comfortable in his own skin. He could never feel. He lived here. He couldn't touch this man's heart. You know, he couldn't get him to open. It was just, especially after my mother died. My mother was his blankie, you know, his binky. And when she was gone, it got even worse. Until the last hour of his life. And I'll never forget this. It was just a couple of years ago. And we'd gone up. I'm in Southern California. He's in Northern California. We go up there. And I go up there, my wife, my sister, my brother-in-law, a couple people in the house. My dad's in there at the end of his life, day or two to go, right? And they go, you want to go talk to your dad? And go, no, I'm my time's going to come. And when it comes, I'm going to go in there. And so we got there in the evening. We flew up. And I didn't go in and see him. We come back early the next morning again, but I didn't want other people in there. I wanted to be private. And finally, there was a moment where no one was around. And I went into his bed. His eyes were closed. And, you know, when you're dying, you don't know what's going on if you're the witness of it. And I pull up a chair right next to the bed. And we had a very difficult relationship, which started to heal in 07 after my mother died. And I really, really poured my life into him because he was so devastated. And I just started to tell him, and his eyes are closed and labored breathing and all that, how much I loved him and what a great father he was and how proud I am of him. And just for about 20, 30 minutes, right? And then I start seeing tears flowing down this man's, and then his right eye was closest to me. And he opened his right eye just a little bit, all these tears. I mean, and then I start singing the Our Father because he's Catholic. And then I just start singing spiritual songs and telling him I love him. And just for like 30 minutes, I promise you, this man moved from here to here and it was broken wide open. So he took that last breath about 30 minutes after I left the room. And I promise you, when he left his body, that heart was open. And I believe that that is where most people end up opening their heart. For people like me, you know, pain and suffering will also lead us to start searching, start answering questions. I guarantee you, like I said, with these women with cancer, I mean, they all took a whole nother look at their life. So I don't think there's an easy answer, to be honest with you, David. I think, you know, on this journey, you know, it's really random. I don't think there's a precise answer, but I will say this. If you're suffering, people that are hurting and suffering right now, they're going to listen to me and say, oh, okay, maybe this guy makes a little sense. People that are hitting on all eight cylinders and making a lot of money and they feel good and they got no problems, they're going to think it's a bunch of, you know, woo-woo, right? So you know, when the old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And so this message is not for everybody, maybe today, but maybe at some point. We're all ready for a new message at some point when we're in pain and we're suffering.
When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. I don't think I've ever heard that before. That's great. Everything you said is fantastic, but you had to drop that bomb right at the end. All right, Mike.
Well, it's true. I really think it's true.
Yeah, no, I'm in the split seconds I had to process that. I'm thinking through my life and I'm like, yeah, God always puts someone in my life right when I need them.
Yeah.
So, well, Mike, it's been a true honor and pleasure to speak with you today. Again, from your birth to today, to where you're headed, to how listeners can reach out to you. Any final thoughts? Is there anything that we missed or that you want to share with our audience before we wrap up today's podcast?
I just want people to understand, number one, this isn't a random accident. Okay. This isn't a fluke. Okay. If you study just how one cell works, okay. I mean, this was created. Okay. So whatever you choose to believe is your higher power, there is a higher power. There is a God. There is a creator. Number one. So try to find that for you and try to get in touch with you, because we all need that power to fulfill our destiny. Secondly, you're not a victim. You know, we're either all victims or none of us are victims. Victim, you've given your power up. You have no power. So I take responsibility for everything in my life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I created it. I own it. On some level, I allowed it to happen. And with that attitude as a creator, now I have the power to change it. So for everything I have in my life, whether it's an illness or a financial situation or a relationship situation, if I accept the fact that I created it, then I have the power to fix it and make it better. So I think that's the most powerful thing that people have to realize, because I think the system today wants to program everybody to be a victim, because then they can control us, right? But when we're powerful creators and we realize that we're connected to the creator of all, okay, then we become very, very powerful. And more importantly, we become very, very peaceful. And, you know, Jesus talked about the peace that passes all understanding. And I think we need to experience that. We need to get out of our way. And you're not going to find the peace that passes all understanding up here, ladies and gentlemen. Okay. This is a freaking insane asylum. But here, you will experience.
And for those listening and not watching, Mike was pointing to his head.
Yeah. If you live in the head, you're dead. Okay. But when you move to the heart, you're home. Okay. Heart is home and the head is dead. So I think that's the message.
Awesome, my friend. Well, it was a true honor to meet you and to catch up on the podcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, like our slogan says, listen, do, repeat for life. Don't just listen to the great advice Mike gave today, but do it. Repeat the good parts each day over and over again so you can have a great life in this world, but most importantly, in eternity to come. Because like Mike and I have both told you, and more importantly, it's the truth from the Bible. God is real. He is the great creator. He loves you and he only wants what's best for you. So reach out to Mike, reach out to myself. And if we can help you in any way, we will. So Mike, again, thank you for being here today, my friend.
Thank you, David. It's been a pleasure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, remember, please share this podcast with people you think it'll help. We love you and we'll see you in the next episode. Ciao.
The Remarkable People Podcast. Check it out. Remarkable People Podcast. Listen, do, repeat for life. Remarkable People Podcast.